Thank the Lord for His goodness to me. That song, the chorus says, Jesus the Emancipator. He is the freedom giver. He is the provider. Thinking of the places I've been in my life, the faithfulness of God to release me and to minister to me at different times. I'm the true friend that we find in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thankful this morning that it's not about our abilities, but it's about the power of His Spirit. Ask for your prayers that we would be able to share this burden the Lord has laid on our heart. Written on the board, our humanity. And there's quite a few folks here from my home congregation in Chilliwack, so you'll have to bear with us as some of these thoughts you've probably heard in the past few weeks. But I feel like the Lord has laid this burden on my heart afresh. And I'd like to start in Exodus in the third chapter. I'd like to read about Moses' account here with God and with the burning bush. I'm thankful that the Lord made us all different. Thankful that we are not the same, that our personalities and our makeup and the things that we think are funny and the things that we think aren't funny and the things we find beauty in, the things that we care for and don't care for, like different colors, different flavors, there's all sorts of different dynamics to each one of us this morning. There is variety, there is differences of opinion, there is differences of outlook, differences of upbringing. And the Lord is able, as we can start to read here in Exodus in the third chapter, but the Lord likes that variety. He is able to take our differences or to take people from different walks of life, and when He is able to minister to us and we allow ourselves to be used of Him, then the beauty of our uniqueness, the beauty of how we're made, is illuminated by His Spirit. Now, there are things He wants to change about us, there's no question. Takes out a stony heart and gives us a fleshly heart. And our commitment to the Lord and our love for the Lord and our desire is the same. Our goal is the same. But the way that we are made and the way that we are think is very different. So I'd like to start here in Exodus in the third chapter, and it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, we'll continue reading here in a moment, but just to set the mindset here, that God took the form of fire and he began to burn in this bush and the angel of the Lord was there. And I want us to get a hold this morning that the bush was not consumed. That the fire is burning, the flame is there, the heat is there, all of the consumption power of the flame is evident. He can see it. I don't know if there was smoke, but the evidence of the fire was very real. And if you've ever, all of us have been at a campfire, all of us have sat around and seen the consumption and the power of flame. But it would be something to see the power of fire that it's hard to even imagine what you can't hold it. There's so many aspects to it. But it's in the middle of the bush and the bush is not consumed. There's nothing special about the bush. It's made out of wood. It's made out of characteristics that would be destroyed by this kind of heat. But when God took its place there, the bush is still in its full form and it is not burnt up. Now Moses is standing there and he's a human. We could read the account of Moses. Probably all of us this morning know his history. how he came about and some of the things that he had done in his life, the humanity of Moses. But as he stood before the bush, God had a plan. And he had a plan to use Moses and a purpose for his life. And what was evident here was it wasn't about Moses' humanity. It wasn't about Moses' ability or inabilities. And we'll get to that in a moment. But he wanted to impress upon Moses that the bush is not consumed. And that to take off his shoes because he was not worthy of himself to stand in the presence of God. Moses couldn't say, well, I'm the son of Jethro. I'm the son-in-law of Jethro. I've been born into royalty. I've been raised in this home. Or I've been here. It wasn't about any of that any longer. The power and the omnipotence of God was that Moses had to take his shoes off, for he stood on holy ground. When we come to God and understand the plan He has for our life, it's not about how good I am or the fact that I was born a certain way, but it's about the almighty power of God, that He's able to take a hold of something and that He can change it from what it is into something that it isn't. And as Moses stood there before the bush, he said, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. I am the almighty God, the God of your fathers, the one you've heard about. The one you've known all about. The one that gave the promise to your fathers. And I'm here now addressing you. Heard some in this meeting about making the choices and to set your heart before God. This morning as God calls upon your heart, recognize that it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The same God that you read about all the miracles that He performed. That is the one that is addressing you this morning. That is the one that is calling upon your heart. And it's time to take off our shoes and recognize that He is Almighty God, and I can't stand before Him with anything, but to recognize that His power and His ability to do whatever He wishes to do. Now, as Moses stood before Him in this place, he took off his shoes and he was afraid to look on Him. Sometimes we can be afraid to look upon God, to recognize His severity and His ability. In light of me, I'm just a worm. I have nothing that I can bring. You think of the little song, the little drummer boy. What can I do but play a song for the King of Kings? What do I have that I can bring to God? What thoughts can I bring that would add to His stature and His ability? Don't have anything to offer Him. He's the Almighty. He created everything. All I can do is take off my shoes and bow before Him and be afraid even to look upon His face because of what He's capable of. What He is and who He is. He's existed forever. Outside of time, He's created everything in His wisdom and in His power and in His Word. He speaks it into existence and it holds its place. Oh, may our faith be inspired this morning, not by our own frailty, not by our own humanity, not by our own ability, but by the power of God that He can take a bush and light it on fire, and the bush stays in its current form, and you can see all of its power and all of its might, and yet it's not consumed. My response is to hide my face and to take off my shoes and recognize that this is the God Almighty that's talking to my heart. That's ministering to me. That's taking time to talk to me. What did He say? Moses, here am I. Oh, you're talking to me now. It's my turn in the presence of God. As he stood in this place, he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Recognize here that God knew where His children were. He knew what they were facing. His heart was moved with compassion. He had a plan for His people. And as we read in the Old Testament, it's easy to think of it as the children of Israel, as the children of God. But this morning, this is about us. It's about the plan of God that He has for our life to recognize the places that we find ourselves in, the bondage that we find ourselves in, the places and the taskmaster that rules over people's lives. But God has a purpose and a plan that in spite of our humanity and our frailty, that He has a desire to take us out of the places that we're in, to lead us to a place of the land of Canaan, a promised land that He had prepared for them. And it wasn't just the land that He made all perfect and wonderful so they could just walk in and set up camp. No, this life is about a journey of effort. It starts in Egypt, yes. It starts recognizing the bondage and the taskmaster I have. But all along the walk of life, in every season that you face, your humanity will be tested before God, and you'll have to submit to His power and His might. It'll never be that I was strong enough to take myself out of Egypt. I was never strong enough to take myself into the Canaan land. I was never strong enough to fight the giant. I was never strong enough to take down Jericho. It's always been about the power of God. As we submit to Him, as we yield to Him, as we're as Moses and we say, "Yea, Lord, here I am. I'm taking my shoes off. What do You want? What's Your purpose and what's Your plan?" As we think about this a little bit, He recognized their sorrows. And the 8th verse says, "And He came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land someone else held, a land that they were going to have to go conquer by the power of God." Do you know that the book was not done at this point? You know, sometimes we can think of life as when you get saved and the book is written, as if it's completed. But here it's just the beginning. This walk with God, getting out of Egypt is only the start. Being released from that bondage and that taskmaster is only the beginning of God performing and showing His power and might. And it's never going to be about the strength that I take on of myself or the way that I can lift myself up, but it's by the inspiration of His Spirit to make alive in this human flesh the power and the ability of God to overcome every giant and every city and every land that we face, every temptation that the enemy brings. My victory is going to come as I turn and submit myself to Him, take off my shoes and yield and say, "Thou art the God Almighty." Oh, in one place He said, what did Paul say? No, it wasn't Paul. It was one of the men who had a daughter that wanted to be healed. And he said, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I recognize that You're able, and I recognize my frailty. Help me, Lord, to look past my frailty and see Your power and Your might and recognize that You're able to accomplish Your purpose and Your will." In this place here, as he said, "I'm going to take him to the land of Canaan. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I to accomplish this?" You ever had the Lord tell you and you feel inspired of some land or a victory that you can attain and you think, "Who am I? What do I have on hand?" Or maybe you fought the battle before and the enemy has been victorious in your life. Who am I to face this battle again? Oh, Moses in his mind, he said, Who am I to go to Pharaoh? It's just me. What do I have on hand? My humanity is so frail. He said that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Do you know where Moses got this wrong? He said, "Who am I?" His thought process was on himself. His thought and idea was, "Who am I, and who am I, and who am I?" Instead of recognizing, "Thou art God, you're going to accomplish whatever you determine to accomplish." He goes on to say, and he said, "Certainly," or God said, "and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the children of it, or brought forth the people out of Egypt, and ye shall serve God upon this mountain." You're going to come back to this place, and you're going to serve me here. This is a token I'm giving unto you, and you won't take time to read it, but in the next passage here, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall stand to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto him? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, And thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." This proclamation of God as the great I am. Our nature and our humanity, the makeup that we have is to look at what we have on hand. When we prepare for a journey, don't you think about the things that you've got to accomplish the journey? You think about what's coming. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's the vehicle to get you there, the food to accomplish the goal. We take stock. We're made that way. Moses thought of that. Who am I to accomplish this? But the answer wasn't in what Moses brought to the burning bush. The answer wasn't in what Moses was carrying with him that day. The answer was for him to take off his shoes and recognize the power and the omnipotence of God to accomplish his effort and his work. And I find it beautiful that God didn't... One place in the New Testament it says, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He didn't go find the strongest warrior. He didn't find the one that was perfectly situated to accomplish his effort and his goal. Moses had some history. He had some things that he had done. But when God came on the scene and now he had a calling on his life, there was a new direction for him to follow. A new calling in his life to perform. And it wasn't about what Moses had done in the past, but now it was about his submission before God to allow God to be the I am in his life. This journey that we're on now, we can be in all different places. You might still be in Egypt. You know that what we say and where we are can be two different things. The image that we give and what we feel in our heart can be very different. The facade or what we want to people to think about us, because we want to be well thought of, we're made that way. But do you know that Moses had to come to the point when he went to Egypt to lead this path out? He couldn't say, I'm Moses. He had to put himself under and recognize and say, it is the I am that has sent me. I'm just a messenger here. It's not that I am well able or I have been prepared for this. Or no, you know what? I'm here because he sent me and it's his job to accomplish the work. I'm just being obedient to what he said. And in this walk that we're in, the image that you portray doesn't mean anything to God. Take off your shoes and bow before the burning bush and be honest before God where we are this morning. Recognizing that this journey that we take, it's not real complicated. Do you know that we're not all going to do the same things in life? We're not going to have the same job. We're not going to get called to the same mission field. We're not going to minister to the same people. We're not going to have the same office in the body. All different paths of life that we're going to take. But it has a formula to it that's the same. And that is that we find ourselves in a place of bondage, the pit that we were in. The power of God to free us from that pit. And if you can read the account, I'm sure we all have, of the children of Israel in Egypt, it was never by their ability. God freed them from that place, sent the plagues and led them out. He opened the Red Sea. He did the entire work. All they had to do was to follow Him. It's the same in our lives, no matter where you are in your walk with God, no matter where, if you're under bondage, it's not about your ability to open the prison bars. It's not about your ability to make yourself good enough to force yourself out. It's about your submission before God to be honest and recognize who you are. He knows who we are anyway. Could the children of Israel could have sat there in Egypt and puffed themselves up and said, we're the kings of this place. We're in charge and we're in control. But they're still out going and making the bricks and putting the hay together and working double time and triple time and eating the leeks and onions. They weren't the kings of Egypt. They were servants, regardless of how they carried themselves. It's the same in our life today. I don't care about what the image is. I don't care about what the perception is. What matters is before God, recognizing that He is the I am and He is able to break the power and the bondage of anything that the enemy can bring, of anything that He can bring us under, that it's by His power that we're freed from that place. Doesn't mean we all go live in the same place. Doesn't mean we all look exactly the same way. But I'm escaping the bondage. And then He has another step for us to take. And this is that step of giving ourselves fully to God. They wandered in the wilderness because they doubted and they questioned. Went from place to place, and it was only a short distance. It doesn't have to take a long time. But when we give ourselves fully to Him, you remember when they went into the land of Canaan? When they came to the Jordan River, no longer did He blow with the wind, but they had to take a step of their own by faith that the waters would part, that they could enter into the land of Canaan. Part of our journey with God is that we take the faith and recognize it's not that... Remember when they sent the spies? Lots of giants there. Wasn't it Caleb and Joshua that said, but our God, He is able... And others were scared of that place and would go back and wander in the wilderness again. They didn't look at the children of Israel and say, look at our power, look at our might, we can take this land. They said, no, our God is able to deliver into our hand the giants and the cities that we see. And by taking that step into the water, we're affirming, Lord, I want to live by Your Spirit, not by my strength, not by my ability, not by me puffing up my chest. Yes, the Scripture tells us to set our face like a flint, but it's my dedication to God. It's not that I think that I can go out and fight the battle on my own. How many times did they get in trouble by their own effort and by their own ambition sometimes? Took them into the land of Canaan. This is the same journey that we take in life. All of us here this morning are taking this journey. Where you're at is between you and God. And then once you're in the land of Canaan, it's not the end of the book any longer. Being filled by His Spirit, living by His power and His strength, is just a daily journey of submitting to His power day by day. Recognizing that the battles in my humanity that I had from the very, that I've got to fight day by day, is still here. I still have to be empowered by His Spirit. That when I get up in the morning and don't feel well, I'm faced with difficulty, that I have to go back to the I Am who gave me the token in the bush that said, I am the one that's going to deliver this land to you. I am the one that's going to provide the peace to your heart, the joy to your soul, and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Another day faces me, another battle faces me this morning. It's not going to be as if I've entered some nirvana and now I just can just lay down. It's not time for that yet. We still have a journey to walk and a book to write, an experience to have with God in which our humanity is conquered by the power of His Spirit, that it's able to be performed and to exhibit the graces of Christ day in and day out in spite of the circumstances that we live in. Do you know that God doesn't... Sometimes we have a lot of the same beginnings. A lot of us here are maybe born into a Christian home and have Christian families around us. You know, not all of us are born into that. So the formula can't just be born into a Christian home, be taught, and then make it to heaven by that. Because not everybody is born into that environment. Many people are born in many different places, in many different environments. The power of the Spirit is to take a person, whatever place they're in, that has submitted their heart fully to Him, and enable them to live a life that's victorious in the midst of everything that's around them. In the midst of maybe parents that are unsaved or influences that are difficult. You can't just decide one day I'm going to leave the environment that I'm in. It's harsh, the person that I'm living with, they make things difficult for me. You know what? You may still have to live there. And deal with our humanity and our attitudes and the way that I was made, day in and day out. But the power of the Spirit and the power of God is that in this place, I can live in the land of Canaan. And when I face this city this morning, that if I submit and recognize it is the I Am and not ourselves, that we're able to live a life that is victorious and pleasing to Him day in and day out. Do you know I'm thankful that God didn't... He didn't come down and He didn't take us and turn us into a cookie cutter mold. My personality is still the same, whether I like it or whether I don't like it. As I get older, I try to be quieter. I don't know if I'm successful at it. As younger, I know I was annoying. Probably still am. But do you know what? It's the way that I'm made. I can't change it altogether. God does work on me. I'm still working on me. There's still a sign as a children's song. You sing it till the day I die. He's still working on me. You have to have patience and long-suffering. It's just the way it is. But the power of the Spirit is that in spite of the way Ken was made, by yielding the reins of my life over to Him and recognizing that He is able, He can make something that's beautiful that only He is able to accomplish. Oh, there's lots of clubs and things that we could join. Lots of memberships and things that you could to fit and form yourself into. But that's not what He's interested in. You think about the disciples and those that followed Him. They came from many different walks of life. And the call in their life was the same. But do you know their reactions to Him were not? The way that they reacted, their emotions, the way that they lived around Him, they didn't all take things the same way. Peter stands out a lot because of his personality, but not everybody was like that. Some wanted to sit by his side, some wanted to follow along behind, some wanted to take a record of what was going on. They all had a different reaction. But the power of Christ in the midst of them was to take them as they were and to accomplish a work in the heart. It's what He's interested in. He's interested in your life, where you live, and empowering you to live a life that's pleasing to Him in spite of everything that's around. Thought of some of the examples in the Old Testament. You remember when Gideon went to battle? He had a great army. He had a great amount of men ready to battle. And God whittled them down to just a few hundred men. Not many on hand. And the purpose for that was that so that the I Am could have gained the recognition and the glory for the victory. And sometimes in our life we tend to lean towards our strengths. We herald that as the place where I'm strong and we hang our hat on that. But the power of God is that in our weakness, in our places where there's just a few hundred, and the Lord comes in and He's able to minister or hold us or strengthen us in the middle of our hottest battle. It's then that we recognize that it wasn't we ourselves, but it was God that moved in this place. And our taking off our shoes and kneeling before the awesome God, it comes to full relevance. Life is going to teach us who God is and who we are. We all are going to have different paths this morning. Where you're going to work and who you marry and who you're married to and where you work and your career, and all, it's all going to be different. But do you know that life is going to teach you the power of God and the power of yourself? It's going to come at some point that you're unable just by your own willpower to serve God and recognize that I'm needy and I need His mercy to accomplish His work in this place. That, Lord, I stand before You as Moses with my shoes off, saying, who am I to be able to go through this? But by Your power and by Your strength, and when He ministers and shows Himself, there's no greater token or definition or realization in our faith of who God is. We think sometimes I have to search and I have to find God. Where is God? And I look for Him in different places. He's in your weakness. He's in your humanity. He's in the places where you're made, where you're not able to live or able to accomplish the work that He's called you to. This is where you find God, because it's there that you're not able to accomplish anything by your own strength. It's why when you look at nature, and we sang the song, one of the songs we sang this morning was about praising God and seeing Him in the things that are around us. It's because His consistency is proven there. The sun and the moon and the way the moon cycles, where you can find God in that because it's consistent. But do you know in your weakness, in your times of difficulty, when you don't have enough on hand, He proves Himself just like He did with the sun rising and falling? It's what He takes pleasure in. Was taking that one that He formed, and you can read, I wrote it down, won't take time to read it. You can read Psalms 139. Knew you when you were in the womb. I formed you there. I know your uprising, your downfalling. I know your thoughts. I have thoughts towards you that are marvelous that I can't even comprehend that God thinks of me like that. Oh, that Scripture just brings out a presence of God and His interest in our lives. And He knows me and He knows you like no one else. Knows everything about us. Every secret thought, every secret way. Every verbal thought, everything that runs through our mind and our passions and our ambitions and the things that we think. But do you know what? He sees all that and He still believes and wants to be the I Am in your frailty and in your humanity. To accomplish His work. What greater power is there than that? Than for God to take something that doesn't hold water and it holds water. To take something that only would feed a few and feed 5,000. You can only say, behold, it's the power of the Almighty God has delivered me out of this place. We've talked about Elijah at home the last few weeks. We don't have to take time to read it, but Elijah was human. And I think about the battle that he had with Baal and the accomplishments that he saw of the power of God there. And he witnessed such a great demonstration. But yet, just a short while after, he was so depressed he was ready to die. He'd given up. And just let me die, I'm the only one left. Just let me lay here, it's too much. Human. frailty, normal, like you and I, see things from God? Why do we scoff at the children of Israel? How can you go into one battle and then the very next week you doubt what God's able to do? But we do it too. Because we get focused on ourselves and what I'm able to do and what I'm not able to do. But if you read that account, it's beautiful how God deals with Elijah. He's gentle. He's tender. He doesn't hit him over the head. He doesn't tell him, what's wrong with you, Elijah? Get off the ground. Didn't you just see what I did? Get back to work. Get back out there and start preaching. No, he baked some food for him and sent him back to sleep. Then he baked him some more food and he told him, the journey is too great for you. Eat this. And go in the power and the strength of what? Of Elijah? No, in the provision of God and what He had given him. 40 days and 40 nights. He went from depression to the mountaintop. And it was the same man, the same frailty, the same human. We think sometimes of Elijah or some of those examples as if they were spirits or something, as if they embodied something great. They were still human with all of our emotions and all of our feelings. But they were filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, enabled by it. Life's not easy. It has its trials. It has its difficulties. Our frailty and our humanity will be tested. And without the power of God, without the inspiration of His Spirit, we will utterly fail time and time again. It takes... Thought also, before we move to that, I thought also of the prodigal son. I'm thankful that God recognizes and understands us so well. He knows how to work with us and how to lead us and to guide us. You think about Elijah and the way that he worked with him. But think about the prodigal son for a minute, living in father's house. Two sons living in one home. Two very different paths. One wanted all of his goods that was due him, and he wanted to take his own direction. He really chafed under the power of his father. Didn't like it. He was constantly pulling to get out from underneath it. Do you know what the father did? He let him go. He gave him all that he had, what was due him, and, all right, son, go. You know God has that ability this morning? That He lets people go sometimes. He lets them take the steps that they will take. I envision God being very close to us through those times. And then He got to the pig pen. And then he had to make a choice. He could have hardened himself in that place and said, no, I made my choice and I'm going to live with the pigs the rest of my life. But you remember what Father's house was? When he came back, the father didn't berate him. What's wrong with you? What'd you do with what I gave you? Where's it at? He stretched out his arms and hugged him. I love you. Come home. Come back. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you did with all you had, all you've been given. Just come back. Come live here again. That's all I want. It's to take care of you and to be there for you day in and day out. I want to see your face in the morning. That's what he was telling him. You know what? We got some things to do in the days to come. But you know what? We're going to do them together. Just come home. I don't really care what happened before. God's timing, the things that He holds in His hands, He understands our humanity, and He is the ultimate decider. He could have decided for the prodigal son in the pig pen. That's it. He could have been eaten by the pigs. But God decides. He's the one that's in control. And then you have the boy that lived in the home and he made all the right choices. How difficult is that? Well, now he gets to come back and you're going to have a big feast. What have I been doing all this time? This isn't fair. Do you see our humanity, how it's reflected? Two different people, the same house, but two very different walks. But the Spirit is applied in its own way to each one of them. Is exhibited. One had the testimony of going out and living in the pig pen, and you know what the other one had on Wednesday night? I felt jealous. I felt upset. I felt slighted. And God helped me with my attitude. And I still love my brother today. I'm glad he's home. You think he could do that on his own? No way he could. He'd hate his brother like Cain. He'd want to kill him. I'm jealous of what the Father did for you. I want what's due me. You see, it's different paths and it's different walks and we're made different ways. And some of us are naturally good and some of us have a tendency to want to go out and rebel. Just look at, I have four children, they're all different. They're all human. And they have a humanity about them. But this is the beauty of the way that God made us. It's not some quirk in time and we have evolved somehow and now we weren't meant to be this way. Look at our clothes this morning. Nobody's even got on the same shirt, the same shade. Why did you pick what you're wearing? You liked it. Or for whatever your ambition was for it. Your humanity is the way you're made. But God is able to take every vessel and to fill it with His Spirit and to create something that reflects Him. I can't make myself reflect Him. I can't get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to be Christ-like. It doesn't work that way. I have to recognize my humanity in the morning and ask the Lord to fill me with His Spirit and ask Him to reflect in me and my battles and the things I face today. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to reflect Him then. Because He's on the inside living out. I can't cover it up. I can't do this to try to make it fit a certain way. No, I'm going to have to come to the bush, take off my shoes and say, Thou art God Almighty. I'm just me. Just the way that I am. I may not even like it. Sometimes I hate myself and the way that I am. And why do I have to fight this battle again? You know what Paul said? Oh, I sought the Lord 3 times to be different than I am. But you know what? I'm still the way I was. But what I found is that my strength is made perfect in weakness. That when my temptation comes and that difficulty arises again and my heart is tugged at, or I find myself in what did he say in one place? Found himself doing things that he wished he wouldn't. It's just me, Lord. I need your help again. That's what he's interested in. His perfect goal, his perfect effort is to take us from the places that we were born, the environment that we were born in, and to bring us to a place where he can welcome us home. And that journey is what it's all about this morning. Day in and day out, seeing myself for who I am, recognizing that God is able, in spite of that, to accomplish His work and His effort. And when that knot of irritation, when that stone in your stomach is so hard, and the Lord comes in and He just puts that salve on it and just releases, Lord, that was You. It wasn't my willpower. It wasn't me facing the grin on my face in front of everybody. It was the power of Your Spirit changing me, ministering, taking me and the thoughts I would have and You being shining out of me in spite of where I am. Read in 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. The 3rd verse. It says, For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. I love that this covenant, what Jesus brought was something that was alive, something that was moving, something that had a vitality and an effort and an accomplishment to it. How many of us have been to Mount Rushmore? Not a raised hand, I guess. Just think about it. If you haven't been there, you know what it looks like. Carved in stone. And now it sits there for year in and year out, years and years. The faces of the presidents never changes. And you can look upon it and behold what they did. But it never changes. Its brilliance or its motivation or it's quite something to have sculpted that out of the rock. Has an inspiration to it. But it never changes. It's just something that men did that's really cool to look at. And once you've been once or twice, it kind of loses its brilliant. Seen it before. It's the same thing as before. This life with Christ is not something that's just written in stone. A monument that you come back and you look at once every couple of years. Moved by what it was when it was there. But in the fleshly tables of my heart, something alive, something organic, something that's moving. Day in and day out, the refreshment of it is new every day. That being revitalized and feeling the presence and the power of God in today's situation far surpasses something written in stone a long time ago. It's alive and well, and it's why the Scripture bears this out, and it says that, "And such trust have we of Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, Moses come back up on that mountain, got the tables of stone of the Ten Commandments. Oh, what a glory there was to that. God giving something to them, and not that His face shone. It says, but said could not, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was of a glory to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Do you recognize this morning that in our flesh we are already condemned? That the condemnation of our flesh, our humanity, it was never enough? When Jesus came, He said, I came not to condemn the world. They're already condemned. I came to save it. I brought a hope and an ability that in spite of who you are, that I'm going to walk with you and be alive with you. And it's not going to be a law just written in a book that's bound about your neck, but something that's alive and well in your heart, ministering to you in the way you were made. And you're no longer going to have to sacrifice a bull and come back to the priest year in and year out and pay homage to the glory of something written in stone. But that day in and day out, as your high priest, you can come to me and I'm going to give you that glory day in and day out, fill you with you, minister it to you, be the temple within you. Oh, this is the perfect plan that God had an idea when He made Adam and Eve. Looking forward and thinking the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, that He could take the humans that He made in their human form and accomplish His perfect work. Alive and well. Oh, I'm at work today. It's not an easy day at work. Got to deal with some of these people and some of those people, but I'm not counting on some stone written somewhere. I'm counting on the life of the Spirit of Christ living in me to accomplish what He would have me to accomplish today. Alive and well, inspired, alive, ministering. The glory of it far exceeds something written in stone. Ah, it says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. How easily the Lord could come down and can condemn us for all of our wrongs and all of our failures. It's written, and you have. You're now condemned. Happened to the adulterous woman. The law was the killer. Came, and it judged her, tried her. She should be stoned for her error. Jesus said, go and sin no more. A living spirit. A law that's alive. A law that inspires. And then the choices that I make and the decisions that we make and the way that we live is no longer according to a law and something that has been written in stone, but something that comes from an inspiration from within to honor and to worship in my life today the one who has brought this life to me. To recognize and take off my shoes, to take off myself. One scripture says to put on, to recognize that this is the one. Do you know what worship is this morning? Our worship before God is not what we do on Sunday morning. We call it worship service. It is a time we come and we sing and we pray and we assemble ourselves and encourage each other. But your worship to God is day in and day out. What you do morning by morning, day by day, how you respond to that burning bush and how you apply yourself to it and the relationship that you have, that's how you worship God day by day. Sunday is just the culmination of your worship to God day by day. Not interested in you worshiping me, not interested in worshiping the church. I'm not interested in worshiping a list of rules or regulations. I'm interested in worshiping the Spirit of God that makes me alive and well, that helps me make the right choices, that I be inspired to do what He wants me to do. Really doesn't matter. That's what Jacob said. As for me and my house will serve the Lord. What does it say in Psalms? I think it's 91. 1,000 may fall on my right, 10,000 on my left. It shall not come nigh me, because I'm inspired by the Spirit of God to please Him with my life day in and day out. It's alive. It's a well. It's not something that's second generation. It's not something that's just handed down. It's something true and real for you and I this morning, to accomplish its work in your life and your generation. I can't live by the victories of last year's generation and the generation before that. We face things now they never had to face. I can't rely on a law of stone written in somewhere. I've got to have an inspiration in my heart as to what's right and what's wrong. Got to be led by the power of the Spirit that I make the choices every day that will please Him. And He's interested in your humanity this morning. He's interested in the way you were made. Wants to accomplish that perfect work. I appreciate sometimes, and you think about those that have lived before, and I think of giants I've had in my life. I think of Uncle Chuck sometimes. Some of the things that he would say and the way that he would preach. But do you know, I can't make myself be like him. It doesn't work that way. I can't just get up in the morning and study his body language, the way that he preached. I can't just form myself and be the next one like him, because I'm not him. The Lord made me in a way and in a shape and in a form that He wanted me made in. And I can make some bad choices along the way that caused me to be shaped in a certain way also. The effects of sin and the effects of bad choices, you don't just get to wash them all away sometimes. Many times they're lasting. Have to live with the results of them. But for my life then, there is a life to the Spirit. A life to the salvation to make my humanity in the way that I was made. Do you know I think God loves our humanity? When I think of Jesus and the effort that He made, He was a man just like you and I. Scripture said He was tempted in all points as we are. Fought the battles that He fought. In the garden He cried and cried. Why? Because He was human. Sat before Lazarus and cried because His heart was breaking over the separation that He felt. But He submitted Himself, took off His shoes, recognized that it was God Almighty. Many times He said, "Father, glorify Your name," and say, "I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Could have easily elevated Himself, but He laid aside His deity, took on the form of a servant, that He might represent. You know, the angels are made in a certain form. They have no choice. They have no humanity. They must do what God says. Live in heaven, and they have to obey His commands without question. They have no choice in the matter. But we're human. God loves that humanity, because when the choice is made by you and I to submit ourselves and to lay down of our will and to take on His will and be filled with His Spirit, there's nothing that fills Him with greater pleasure. It's the thing that He wants more than anything. He can make anything He wants. I could go build Him a sandcastle. What's that? He can make one far better than I ever could. But when I submit my heart, day in and day out, given my humanity and my weakness and my frailties, I can't hide from Him anyway. Might as well express them before Him and ask Him to help me. That's what He wants. I love that Jesus said when He came, He didn't come for those that didn't need a physician. Saw every man and every need that they had. Oh, if you could just see yourself, is what He told some of you. You could just recognize what your needs are. So this morning, it's not about covering up my needs. It's not about forcing myself and to hide my humanity, but to submit myself before the Lord. Ask Him that He would fill me with His Spirit. I've got to give it all to Him. You know, sometimes I think it's hardest for us to submit our frailty than it is anything else. Our weaknesses, the things that we struggle with, sometimes the ways that we are made. I want to cover those things and hide those things. But as we submit every part of ourselves to Him, not because I'm afraid of Him, not because of I think there's no other way, but because I have found that living in Egypt, or living under the power of those weaknesses, or living under the power of the dominion of those things, that there is one that has a provision to minister to you and I, day in and day out, to reveal Himself, to make Himself real. And it's in my weaknesses that He does that. So this is really where the fight is. This is really where the submission is. It's in my weaknesses. It's in my places of where I'm not able. If you tell me this morning that in order to be saved, I can only ever not pass someone on the freeway, that's easy for me to accomplish and not hard to submit to. But if you start talking about things that are a weakness or something that I struggle with, that's a lot more difficult. Because I have a tendency a certain way. I'm made a certain way. I have certain interests and desires of something that I have to conquer and overcome. But these are the very things that Christ came to minister to. These are the very things that His Spirit wants to work in and to be effective in. Am I going to make mistakes? I am. But the beauty of that is that God knows I'm human. And if I'll own those mistakes and bring those back to Him, He's not going to beat me over the head, kick me in the shin. Why'd you make that mistake again? He's going to be ready to help me to accomplish His perfect work. Going to give me another token of His love and of His long-suffering. It's a perfect will for me. And some of the things we face in life we don't understand is to work on some of those weaknesses. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, some of the struggles that we have, that He might show and reveal Himself, who He is and what He is capable of. I ask that you pray for me. I want to be effective. I want to be in the place that He wants me, and I want to submit all of my weaknesses, all my frailties to Him, and have Him help me to be successful, my life for Him. Pray for me.